This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Reaction on Capitol Hill after Matt Gaetz pulled out as President-elect Trump's attorney general nominee. The former congressman from Florida at the center of a House ethics investigation into sexual misconduct and illicit drug use resigned after getting the nomination, but faced an uphill battle to get enough votes to be confirmed. GOP Senator Kevin Cramer among those who were skeptical.
No, I would not vote for him today. And I have been clear. If I had to vote on what we know today, I would not.
The Pentagon confirming that the U.S. was notified shortly before Russia launched an experimental intermediate-range ballistic missile into Ukraine. Pentagon Press Secretary Sabrina Singh at today's briefing.
This was a new type of lethal capability that was employed on the battlefield. So that's certainly a concern to us.
It marks an escalation this week in fighting on both sides. President Biden hosting the Boston Celtics today at the White House, celebrating the NBA champions, the team's 18th championship in franchise history. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. New job numbers show unemployment in La Crosse continues to fall. The metro area's unemployment rate is 2.1%, down from 2.3% a year ago. The city of La Crosse is down to 2.3% from 2.7% a year ago. La Crosse County's figure is also at 2.1%, among the lowest in the state, with neighboring Monroe and Vernon counties at 2.2% and Trumbull County at 2.3%. All of those are well below the state's 2.9% unemployment rate. Governor Tony Evers has ordered flags to fly at half-staff today. With more on why that is, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
On the third anniversary of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, flags across Wisconsin will fly at half staff. The observance today honors the six people who lost their lives when Darryl Brooks Jr. drove through the parade in 2021. There's a dedication ceremony for a new parade memorial in Waukesha's Greedy Park. It features a symbolic six-sided heart sculpture. Governor Evers, in the flag-lowering order, praised the community's strength.
The memorial was created after more than 2 years of fundraising efforts. This week is Wisconsin Winter Weather Awareness Week. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Matt Friedline at the National Weather Service says the temperatures are about to take a dip.
Yeah, winter is a season that everyone needs to prepare for, even if you're hardy and have experienced many cold winters. As always, weather's not convenient.
Reminding us that we may be forced to drive out in a snowstorm and we could get stranded out on the road.
After snow events, it's cold. I mean, that's just a given how the weather systems work, dragging the cold air on the heels of the storms.
And this is exactly why you'll want an emergency kit with a shovel, sand, or cat litter. And go toss a heavy blanket, extra gloves, hat, and water in the trunk right now. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You can find out more information at the National Weather Service La Crosse website, weather.gov/ARX. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A big win for Badgers volleyball. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin women's volleyball team, ranked 6th in the nation, beat their rivals, number 16th ranked Minnesota, last night in Madison. It took 5 sets, losing the second and third, but coming back to win the final two. They're on the road Saturday night against Nebraska. NBA, the Bucks with a 122-106 win over the Chicago Bulls. The Bucks almost let it slip away in the third quarter. Doc Rivers.
You can't give teams hope. And they have a history. The Bulls this season all year, they keep coming back. And then I thought the fourth quarter was another defensive masterpiece, you know, and we got to keep doing that.
NFL, the Packers host the 49ers Sunday. Rookie defensive back Javon Bullard on facing players like tight end George Kittle or running back Christian McCaffrey.
You look at those guys and before you got to the league, it's like, damn, when you get to the league, man, all that go out the window. I ain't going to lie to you, but as a competitor, you looking forward to those matchups, man. You looking forward to playing against those guys and competing with those guys for sure.
That's the Packers' Javon Bullard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight and a little breezy, a low in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, cloudiness continues, highs into the low 40s. For the upcoming weekend, it stays dry and mostly cloudy. A high around 40 on Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. It's 42 right now.
Earl Ingram.
Don's from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition with Brady Ewing, former Wisconsin Badger, with a Badger Packer preview, and our old friend Peter Rapine with a week in review. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can be a part on the lines or on the text, on the socials as well. 855-752-4842. Jazzed as hell, our friend James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus The Law Review, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays 9 to 11. Caught a little bit of your show last week. Jim, always a pleasure to have you, man. Thanks for sticking around.
Glad to be here once again, as always.
As always. Now, we're going to get to the Bibles in Oklahoma. We promised Jazz we'll get to it, but we got to start out with the Trump trials.
Yes.
Whatever we're calling them now.
Right. Maybe the Trump former trials.
He was supposed to be sentenced, right. But Judge Juan Merchan.
Yes. Yeah.
Is what? Freezing, delaying that until after 2029?
Sometime in the future, right?
What?
You invite me, you and Jess invite me here to be a part of your show. And I thought, okay, this is the week when we can do the dramatic reading from Juan Merchan, much delayed since July 1. He was going to tell us whether or not that Supreme Court case that says that, yes, indeed, presidents can commit crimes in the White House and get away with it. He was going to tell us whether that prevents him from going ahead. We're going to do some dramatic readings, right, my friend?
Yeah,
and we're
absolutely.
Going to be out here and quoting from Juan Merchan, much delayed over the period of the past, almost 6 months. Donald Trump convicted by a jury unanimously beyond a reasonable doubt in mid-May, okay, waiting all this time, a July sentencing date, a September sentencing date, November 26th, a sentencing date. And then on Tuesday, quite literally in the 9 o'clock East Coast, the pundits are saying, any moment now, we're going to hear from Juan Merchan. And then the news changed. We started talking about we're waiting to hear from the DA about what he wants to do. And within a couple of hours, this entire thing devolved, to my mind, outrageously, to the point you've got Alvin Bragg, the prosecutor, saying, well, maybe we either freeze this or dismiss it.
Freeze?
What does freeze mean? And again, Juan Merchan says, okay, nothing I'm going to say today. That's off the calendar. And oh, by the way, that sentencing that I've now postponed at least twice, if not three times, that's off the calendar too, indefinitely. Presumably we'll hear from them again. Here's the point. In America, once you are convicted of a crime, what do we all do? What does everybody know what happens to a criminal defendant? If you're acquitted, you go on your way and you are done with the system. If you are convicted of a crime in state court, in federal court, what happens? Let's all say it together. You are sentenced. That's what happens.
Yes.
To sentence a defendant. That's the infinitive, right? And so why not do that? Do that now. This particular individual, this defendant, is a private citizen right now. Make the compelling argument that you're going to be interrupting maybe a day of his transition, but bring him back to New York. I think he's in New York with some frequency. Get him in there, sentence him. Do whatever you want to do, Juan Merchan, whether it's put him on probation. I myself think there should be some incarcerative period, not a long period of time, not 4 years, but something to send the message. And then you know what? then you stay that. You, which basically says, I'm imposing the sentence. I am done with this. Take your appeal now, Donald Trump, and spend the next 3 years appealing this to the appeals court, to the high court in New York. Knock yourself out, do all that, but bring this to conclusion and tell America what should happen to this defendant who you said, Juan Michon, was going to be treated like every other defendant. What are we doing here, Dom? What's happened to the rule of law? I will tell you that when it comes to Juan Merchan and, frankly, Alvin Bragg, these folks talking about now just drop-kicking the regular process in America, because we know, yes, he's going to be the president of the United States of America, but he's not now. And we've got 60 more days to do all this.
I mean, he could do a 30-day stint in 60 days.
Right. Who could do that if, I mean, if indeed.
That's what the
right,
man says
right,
to me, man.
Right. And so I was shocked. I was outraged. And again, I've got a bias. Your listeners know that well. I was a former prosecutor. But in all those cases, you bring them to conclusion. If the judge wants to place the defendant on probation, I may or may not agree with that recommendation. Often prosecutors.
At least it's a sentence.
It's a sentence, right. And you live with it because everybody does their job. And then you go up in the Court of Appeals and they review all that. And let's get that underway. That could also proceed in the next 3 to 4 years. And frankly, by the time Donald Trump is done with his term, presumably he's done with a 4-year term and not something beyond that. It may well be that at the end of that, maybe all that process will be done. And then the state of New York could execute on that sentence. Now what's going to happen if we freeze this, which appears to be the procedural thing that they've made up there in New York? What will happen? Okay, we'll freeze it now. In 2029, we're going to pull this file off the shelf, and Juan Merchan is then going to sentence Donald Trump. And then in 2029 and 2030 and 2031 and 2032, we'll do all these appeals, and sometime when Donald Trump is, I can't do the math, I'm not good, I'm a lawyer. Whenever he is as old as he is, then we're going to impose a sentence that gets affirmed. You must be joking. I'm outraged. I'm befuddled. Somebody needs to tell me, what is the legal principle that supports this indefinite and now completely drop-kicked approach in New York and, frankly, in other places as well?
Justice delayed is justice denied.
It is. And that was again the approach of the Trump team. Frankly, the future deputy attorney general, who again is sitting next to Donald Trump.
His defense lawyer.
And congratulations for the small C. Aggressive strategy. Successful. Absolutely. Look at what the defense team has done. They have taken these four cases, including that one, the Georgia case, also, again, another state case out there, still arguably pending in front of the appeals court. But what did they do just last week, Dom? Again, curiously, just took the oral argument date off the calendar. What is that about? What did you do? What's going on there? Why are we not going to get a resolution of that appeal there in the Georgia case? It has to do with Fannie Willis and admittedly this sort of inappropriate relationship.
Right, whether or not
right?
she can stay on the case because she was sleeping with her assistant
exactly,
prosecutor,
right?
Which has nothing to do with the case
right.
and didn't bias them in any way. And oh, yeah, so what? At the end of the day, there's still a RICO charge against Trump and lots of other people. What
right.
about those other folks, man? Are those
right.
cases going to go forward? I
yep,
mean, isn't
right.
he a co-defendant with all, or is he split off?
He is right. He is a co-defendant. You could, again, that's the big issue, right? Presumably, they're not subject to the immunities that the Supreme Court identified.
They're going to freeze
right,
their
we're gonna
cases.
Freeze that, right? And they're not going to be the president of the United States of America. Maybe
right.
if your theory about Matt Gaetz and Gableman is true, maybe they could be candidates for positions in this administration. But I'll take my tongue out of my cheek and say quite seriously, I'm shocked by that as well. And let's go to the two others. Tanya Chutkan. Okay. She's got a motion from Jack Smith.
Now, this is the January 6th
This is the January 6th.
Overturning the election.
This is the really big one, right?
Yeah,
right.
The one that really matters.
And she has said, I'm going to treat you like everybody else. I don't know what Jack Smith is doing. I don't know why he is filing a motions both there and in the Mar-a-Lago documents case with the 11th Circuit, saying to all those tribunals, hold on, suspend, terminate what you've got right now. And those motions are being granted. Tanya Chutkan, after saying for years, I'm going to treat you like every other defendant, granted that motion of my government, of the Department of Justice that represents us. And she said, okay, I'm taking off all the deadlines. Why, Tanya?
Well, the DOJ is pulling back, and certainly, you know, Trump's team. Well, what's the judge going to say? Okay, both these folks want to pull back and freeze or do whatever, delay. What am I going to do? She's granted the motion.
Right, and she did just that. And I would say, Tanya, That's wrong. You don't have to grant a motion of the Department of Justice. Issue your opinion on the homework given to you by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court told you to figure out whether or not this crazy thing about immunities should apply to your case. You have to be working on it. You've got half the briefs already submitted. Get the briefs from the defense and spend the next 45 days finishing that up and issue that decision. You don't have to grant that motion. Admittedly, is the case ever going to be tried? No, it's not. Impossible to envision any scenario. Is it a good thing under the rule of law to get that opinion out there, to bring this cycle of history to an end? I would argue absolutely. And go to the 11th Circuit also, which has likewise been told, hey, suspend everything. Is it significant? Maybe not quite as Tanya Chutkan's order.
That's the Florida documents case that's under appeal because the judge
Eileen Cannon said a prosecutor can't do this. A crazy notion. Would it
because
be
because he's a special prosecutor? She dismissed the special prosecutor.
Exactly. Because Clarence Thomas said somebody should look at this, and she said, "Okay, I will. I'll dismiss the case." Is it helpful to the rule of law in America? Even though that case will never go to trial, for us to hear from another appellate court that says, you know what, special counsel has legitimacy. There's nothing to what Eileen Cannon said. Slap her down again, not physically. Slap her down again as they've done twice before and tell her how wrong she is. We would be valued, high value in hearing from the 11th Circuit. None of that will happen. I don't know what's going on, Dom. Why it is we're pulling back from all of this at a time when we can bring them to an end.
Rich
bring them to a conclusion.
White men playing the justice system, man. I mean, are you really surprised?
I am.
I don't know, man. It seems to me so stereotypical. Delay. Hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, he's just pilfered all this money, or you know, it was donated to him from his cult followers. Right. To work the system. And now that he got elected, you know, if he wasn't elected, this wouldn't be happening.
It would not be happening. None of this would be happening. All those cases would still be going ahead. Now we've got a complete reversal of fortune. And think about that. We've got a situation where judicial proceedings are, until just this past week or weeks or so, we're moving ahead a pace, right? And now what happened? In a political arena, there was a decision to nominate and campaign under and now elect this person who happens, yes, indeed, to have the most important position on the face of the planet. And that is now going to direct what our criminal justice system does in states and the federal courts as well. If that doesn't strike you as problematic in America, and again, a sign of where we are in America, it should. And again, surprise, maybe not surprised, but shocked, as they often say.
Folks, that is James Santel, former U.S. attorney, still feeling.
I'll jump off my soapbox.
I know, man. Jimmy, you worked for the DOJ.
I did. 30 years. 30 years. That's how old I am.
Are you proud of this organization, man?
I'm extremely proud of this organization. Is it perfect? Absolutely not.
Has there been a less perfect situation than what we're seeing right now?
I can't remember when it was. I worked for 9 attorneys general, Dom. 7 of them Republicans and 2 of them Democrats. Not politicized, not the kind of thing we've seen in recent years. Extraordinarily proud of the agencies, the investigators, the prosecutors, people in the U.S. Attorney's Office. I have so much respect for them around the country. And now what's happening? And that's why my bias, obviously, is in favor of the integrity of the system. That's why I'm so outraged with what's happened here. And the fact we're not going to get conclusions here. And it's not going to happen. I am shocked.
Not getting conclusions means he got away with it, Jim.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's not okay, dude.
It's not.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls and your texts as well. Stick around.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Everyone on the road is trying to make it to their destination safely. You can help by staying aware of the large trucks and buses around you. They take longer to stop, have large blind spots, and make wide turns that require caution from other drivers. It takes all of us working together to share the road safely. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov. Paid for by FMCSA.
Severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today I've got some wonky terminology, so bear with me. I'm talking about credit utilization and how that affects your credit score. Credit utilization just means how much of your credit you're using. So let's say you have a $10,000 limit on your credit card. Now, lots of us think it's okay to spend up to that $10,000 every month as long as you pay it off in full at the end of the month. Well, it turns out the credit bureaus, these agencies that assign us our credit scores, they only want us to use maybe 10, 20, or maximum 30% of our credit limit each month, like $1,000 to $2,000 to $3,000 tops if you've got $10,000 in credit. And your credit utilization counts for 30% of your total credit score. I don't love the rules, but knowing them helps us manage our credit scores the way we want to. For more about credit scores or just about getting good at money, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you love somebody to love? You better find.
Hey, thank you for listening to the Dom Salvi Show. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a text line. It's a phone line. And we got some texters jumping in here. James Santel at the desk with me. Jess P.S. on the board. A couple of thoughts here from the 740 WMDX. I've never enjoyed so much a bunch of words that made me so angry. Thank you to the guests. Thank you, Jim. You're firing them up out there.
Right, right. That's what I do. I make people angry, apparently, in 2024,
no.
2025.
Gary from WAUK. Jim's right. These judges should have set a precedent. Thank you for your comments, Gary. I don't know if it's a precedent. It's just like normal business, right? I mean, what, you just go and you're guilty, you get sentenced. I mean, why would the future something impact what is going on right now?
Absolutely. And again, if we know from history, recent and past, when you rely upon things that might happen in the future, it's not going to go well, right? Right? It's just, I always bring this along when I'm ever with you. This is On Tyranny by Timothy Snyder. Do not obey in advance is rule of law number one, right?
Yep.
When a citizen who adapts in this way is teaching power what it can do, that's what you're doing by saying, nope, we're not going to issue any decisions. We're shutting all this down now in anticipation of something that will likely happen.
Sure.
Let's be realistic about it.
Yeah.
The trials will not happen. But get those rule of law decisions. When you do this and do it now, you're also instructing the future leaders, I will say with a small L, and they may have other descriptive aspects to them in the future. You're also telling them what they can do when they get into power. That's very dangerous. That's tyranny, according to Tim Snyder.
And since we're not there yet, not suggesting. And we heard some, I don't know if the report in there, there's been some ambulances at Mar-a-Lago. Do we know anything more about that?
No, okay. I don't know anything more about that.
But notwithstanding, there's some reporting out there, some thoughts about their Secret Service might be involved, but we'll get to that later. My point on that, Jim, is the dude could have a medical condition between now and then. I mean, he could.
Sure.
There could be some circumstance where he doesn't take the office.
Right. Right.
Well, what are you doing then?
Right.
Do you have to wind it all back up again then?
Right.
What are these people doing?
Right. Exactly. And talk about again. Look, if something like that should happen, nobody hopes that Donald Trump or anyone else in the next administration suffers that kind of challenge, medical or otherwise. It's the reason why we have rules when it comes to civil litigation and criminal litigation, and we proceed apace. And yes, indeed, if I've had this happen just a handful of times in 30 years, We were investigating. I won't tell you all about the case. We're investigating a potential defendant. He died during the course of the investigation, right? And what you do is, and we knew that he was ill for a long period of time, but we didn't bring the case to conclusion until after we knew that that had happened.
And right, so all this course, guy's going to die, so we're not going to pursue it anyway. No, we're going to pursue it.
Right.
Hyman Roth from The Godfather 2. He's been dying from the same heart attack for 30 right, years.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Some people continue on. You don't let those things influence a straightforward judicial process. Right?
Especially from people. Again, Tanya Chutkan. Again, I admire her tremendously. I am so surprised, again, this is a woman who has consistently said, "I'm unlike Juan Merchan, I'm not delaying things. Get your motions in here. Get your briefs in here, gentlemen." It's mostly, it's been some females, but mostly men representing Donald Trump. And now she says, okay, 60 days out, I'll grant this motion. These are people who have been committed to the process. And again, if
they say they were, Jim, you know, right? I mean, this is my thing. I mean, and I'd love to give the deference as you do as well. But, you know, I got to look at the actions here, man. And I'm, you know, I'm not a former U.S. attorney. I'm not even an attorney. I'm just a guy on the radio looking at a situation where it looks like these guys are getting a pass. You got enough money. You got enough influence. You don't have to go through the process. And even though the guy could literally get sentenced for the crime that he was convicted of unanimously by a jury of his peers, he could get the sentence and do 5 days, 10 days, 30 days, whatever the case is, hell, even house arrest, you know, puts something on the guy,
conclude,
man.
Conclude this case
and
put a bow on it and move it on. This notion, once again, that any of these matters would be frozen. I don't know what that means
legal term
at all,
that,
right?
Jim, real quick, before we move on to other matters at the bottom of the hour here. I know you're proud of your work that you've done, man. And I absolutely appreciate that and respect you for all that you've done. What are your former colleagues thinking about these issues? And Matt Gaetz is now off the board, thankfully.
Right,
but this adjudication of the Trump cases.
I have not spoken directly to sitting assistant U.S. attorneys out there or sitting United States attorneys. I suspect they would probably maybe not have my animated outrage about this, but they're also people, again, all sides of the political aisle. They're Republicans and Democrats as assistant U.S. attorneys, as assistant district attorneys around this country. It doesn't influence their decisions about how you charge cases. They're also people of institution. Frankly, defense counsel are people of institutions who want some resolution. Yes, indeed, is a legitimate strategy to delay, and it benefits defense counsel. But there's a good reason for the justice system generally to have conclusions to it. That's the reason why we move forward. That's why we have speedy trial acts and limits on the amount of pages you can write. And when you've got to appear, all these kinds of things, I have to believe. And from some conversations I've had with other lawyers, not inside the Department of Justice, they also look at this and say, what is going on here? And again, to ask the question that I truly want someone to explain to me, what the legal principle is that prompts this all to be suspended right now. My sense is there's also a huge amount of, at a minimum, head scratching going on about the ways in which these are ending with an incredible whimper. A whimper is the way that these cases are ending. They'll never go into trial, but they should have ended with some conclusion on some of these meritorious issues. That's what we lack. That's what American history will now lack forever.
Folks, that is James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, a law review right here on the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturdays, 9 to 11 a.m. And we get to have a little fun together once a week.
We do.
I appreciate you joining me today. We're going to get into the Bibles, this separation of church and state, and should religion be taught in school? Should it be taught as a matter of history? How should it be taught? Should all religions be taught? I want to get your sense on that as well. And then I got one other question. Well, before we move on from the Trump stuff, I'm going to save it for the other side. 855-752-4842. Join us.
Eagle 1490 AM. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. La Crosse County is doing its mandated audit of voting machines this week. Both state and federal law require that counties check its voting equipment after every general election. The Wisconsin Election Commission randomly chose Town of Campbell Wards 1 through 5 and City of La Crosse Wards 16, 23, and 24 for the audit. In 2022, La Crosse County had a perfect score in its audit. The review of voting machines will take place tomorrow at 9 a.m. in the City Council chambers at La Crosse's City Hall. A pair of familiar faces will lead the Onalaska School District until it finds a new superintendent. Former Superintendent Fran Finko and former Director of Instruction Roger Fruit will serve in an interim role until the district hires a new leader. Both men had retired in 2019. Finko led the district from 2011 to 2019, spending 27 years with Onalaska. Fruit served in multiple administrative roles in his 20 years with the district. The vacancy was created when Todd Antony abruptly resigned 3 weeks ago. Wisconsin has a $4.6 billion budget surplus, and lawmakers are at odds over how to use it. One industry that is in need of support is childcare. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Experts say making childcare more affordable would make a huge impact for families. Dale Knapp, Director of Research for Forward Analytics, says childcare is one of the unique sectors that could really use more government intervention.
The challenge with childcare is you think about who that market is. The market is young families who are just beginning on their career, that who don't have a lot of money, and yet it costs a lot. For two kids, it can be up to 30-35% of income.
He says lightening that child care burden would impact everybody, whether they have kids or not. The new legislature gets sworn in January 6th.
In addition to the calls for more child care funding, the state's Department of Public Instruction is seeking over $3 billion in additional funding for public education, while the UW system is asking for nearly $1 billion. For WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. This weekend kicks off the unofficial holiday box office season, and by all accounts, it will not disappoint. Every so often, two huge blockbusters are released at the same time. That includes this weekend with the release of Wicked and Gladiator 2. Wicked tells the story of the two witches from The Wizard of Oz and is based on the Smash Broadway musical. The film stars Ariana Grande and is pulling a 92% fresh score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 99% from audiences. Gladiator 2 is Ridley Scott's follow-up to the 2000 film starring Russell Crowe. The film stars Paul Mescal, Pedro Pascal, Connie Nielsen, and Denzel Washington, whose performance is getting rave reviews from critics. The film is drawing a 75% on Rotten Tomatoes, just a few points lower than its predecessor, but with no audience scores available yet. If you can wait just a few days, you can take the kids to see Moana 2. The follow-up to the wildly successful 2016 film opens the day before Thanksgiving and is also reviewing incredibly well at 95%. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky tonight and a little breezy, a low in the upper 30s. And for tomorrow, cloudiness continues, highs into the low 40s. For the upcoming weekend, it stays dry and mostly cloudy. A high around 40 on Saturday, mid-40s for Sunday. It's 42 right now.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Alba Show.
If you haven't tried mindfulness techniques before, the idea is to take a minute, focus on the present, not the past, not the future. Be here now. You can do it in your car.
Please, not while you're driving.
I would say preferably not driving. Just take a moment and close your eyes and just breathe. Focus like on the breath coming into your body and out.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we get back into our usual routine of kicking off the weekend with Mark Jacob, Courier Newsroom's Kia Vakil, and Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning starting at 6.
I've seen what you call progress. Every warning sign ignored. There's a muffled voice of reason, but we can't make out the words.
And welcome back to the Dom Selvey Show, 855-752-4842. Former U.S. Attorney James Santel joining me at the table today. We got some texters and some callers. Be patient. We will get to you. Jim from the Facebook says, love Jim always. On the air or in his summertime classroom. A lot of love for James Santel here. Before we move on to the Oklahoma Bible study, to wrap up this thought on the Department of Justice and these cases against Donald Trump, in your experience, Jim, U.S. attorney for 30 years,
right?
Have you ever been involved or had a situation where you felt pressured politically, where you felt that your safety was in jeopardy because of any cases that you were working on?
The answer to the first part of that is absolutely not. I want to animate that and populate that answer a little bit more. And the second part of it, as the United States attorney, and this is the easy thing to answer, and people will say, well, gee, that's very serious. You are plainly the person whose name is on the prosecution, right? And this is James Santel announced today the indictment of so-and-so. And so you're the face of the Department of Justice in the particular district. Are there times when you do get letters, for example, from a defendant who is one day sitting in federal prison who writes a letter to the U.S. attorney in eastern Wisconsin or in southern Florida or in western Michigan? That is a threat. Sure, there are. Those things happen. And I don't want to say they come with the territory, but they are investigated and they are pursued. And the answer is, did I personally ever feel threatened, even in that setting, that sort of thing, even a criminal defendant? And I did violent crime cases. I did white collar stuff. I did violent crime cases, drug cases, gun cases. The answer is they plainly didn't like me, the fellow who was sitting and I get that completely. Yeah. I'm arguing for their criminal conviction and arguably for the single most important thing that a government can do, which is deny you your liberty. I get the reason why I am the face as an assistant U.S. attorney, and a U.S. attorney is someone they would not like. I never actually felt physically threatened. I never felt that as if I was compromised in some way in that. To your first portion, that is pressure to do something. And there is an absolute no, my friend. Again, worked for 7 different attorneys general, including, I admire her so very much, Janet Reno, Eric Holder were the ones with whom I probably had the most connection. I was an interim U.S. attorney under John Ashcroft and also worked with Alberto Gonzalez when I was overseas in Iraq, all those names from the past. Not once did anyone look at me and say, well, you know, Jim, the Democratic platform says the Republican position on this is it just doesn't happen. And you can set the tone, as I'd like to think I did and former U.S. attorneys and subsequent U.S. attorneys can do. You say inside the office that we will look at cases based upon the merits. We'll determine whether or not a grand jury would indict, a jury would convict based upon what the law is. We'll pull out our criminal code and figure out how we should charge these cases. We'll call the agents in the FBI, DEA, ATF, and quiz them on the cases. And simply never ask, are we being loyal to the president here, loyal to what Eric Holder or John Ashcroft would want us to do? It doesn't come up or shouldn't come up. In my experience, it was not a part of anywhere in the process. And I'm very proud of that fact. That's the reason why this great concern, again, the 8 days of Matt Gaetz are gone. But what is next? And if indeed the Department of Justice becomes the focus of retribution and is the animator.
To bring the CIA, the FBI, all these agencies to heal, believe was the the term that Gaetz said.
Exactly. If that is what we have coming in the 60 days from now, that is a huge departure from what my experience was for 3 decades. And it is a reason that, again, will, in the wake of my great, profound pride for every single aspect of the Department of Justice, again, perfect, absolutely not. Lots of things we have to correct on a regular basis, but proud of the institution, the integrity it brings, that could very well change. And again, even though Gaetz is no longer there, the signal, as you said at the start of the first hour this afternoon, maybe it's this attempt to see what we can do and send the message, this is my plan. And that will be a dramatic change, not just in Maine Justice, but around the country for U.S. Attorney's Office. Once again, in the District of Arizona, in Montana, in Northern Illinois, which is Chicago, and in the Southern District of New York, in Eastern Wisconsin and Western Wisconsin, you populate these places. Boy, you'd like to think that we don't have attorneys who would kneel to a president and take a confirmation from the Senate, a nomination. Maybe they're out there around the country. You need 93 of them to be U.S. attorneys. I hope that doesn't change. I hope the integrity is there. You also have a president who's promised to get rid of the civil service. That's all the assistant U.S. attorneys and make them at-will employees. And if they don't bow, if they don't kneel, if they don't do what the president says, much less the attorney general, I can fire you. Those are the prospects. Those are things that are on the table right now. He said that during the course of the campaign, and he is not backing off of those things. That's what scares me.
Have you ever considered, or do you have former associates at the DOJ who would leave the position because of an incoming Republican or Democrat, sure, whatever the case may be? Is that, sure, has that been a thing ever?
Yeah, I think sometimes I remember, people will privately, again, outside of those official categories, say, oh my goodness, now you fill in the blank. This attorney general is going to come in. Now we're going to be doing all these kinds of cases when we should be doing those. People have, sure, those kinds of observations. That's not politics inside the office, but you see that. There have been U.S. attorneys who have said, you know what, I know I'm not going to survive a new administration. I left at the end of the Obama administration. That is regular. And so even when this happens, no listeners think that Donald Trump is now firing all the U.S. attorneys. They're all going to go. That's a part of the process here. We'll see how he does that. But that will happen early on in 2025. There are U.S. attorneys who say, you know what, I do not want to spend one day under the term of, and you fill in your president's name. And that has happened. And again, you might think, well, gee, that sounds awfully political, Jim. And maybe it is for that person in that political position who simply says, I want to be the kind of U.S. attorney who will be serving a president that I respect, serving an attorney general I respect. And I have just decided that I would prefer to wake up in the morning and look in the mirror as a private citizen, as opposed to continuing under an administration. I wonder right now, yeah, if there are people out there, 10, 15, 20, 30 years tenure, who say, gosh, is this a president? Is this an attorney general under whom I want to continue if indeed the Department of Justice becomes the Department of Retribution?
855-752-4842. James Santel, my co-host today here at the table. Let's move along. The Oklahoman reporting that Ryan Walters, Oklahoma's state superintendent, he's buying a bunch of Bibles. Mm-hmm. He put out a video the other day that he made everyone play in their schools. And if they didn't, they're going to be in trouble, where he says he wants to start teaching the Bible in schools. In the news release, Walter said the Bibles would be used in advanced placement government classrooms across the state. He said the move represented the first in the nation Bible purchase explicitly for use in schools as an academic and literary resource, and described the purchase as the first step toward providing Bibles for every classroom in the state. Now, my understanding is some of those Bibles, based on the specs that they made, were only really, really going to be fulfilled by the Donald Trump Bibles. But I think
they cost $60.
That's been redone, my understanding. But either way, the Bible in the classroom, Jim. Separation of church and state, is that a thing, or was I taught wrong?
You were not taught wrong, Dom. And the reality is that none of us was taught improperly here. Let's go back to 1963. This has been settled, right? 1963, I know you know this, Jess knows this, is Abington School District versus Shemp. And in that case, the United States Supreme Court said that public schools cannot support Bible readings in class. Those are recitations, even the Lord's Prayer, those kinds of things. They constitute a government endorsement of a religion. That violates what? The Establishment Clause. Government cannot establish or do something that promotes a particular religion. That's what James Madison told us, right? In the First Amendment to the Constitution. We've lived under that, again, for at least now 40 years, frankly, 250 years or so of our history. This is settled law, and this is a superintendent saying, I don't care what the law of the land is. Again, what can you do? Here are a couple of variations on it. People often say, well, there can be no Bible reading. I cannot read my religious text in school. The answer is no, that's not what the Supreme Court said. Supreme Court said you can't stand up in front of your AP government class and say, okay, open your book to Leviticus and let's read from Leviticus today. You can't have that organizational piece in a study hall. Can an independent student open the Guru Granth Sahib if you happen to be Sikh, S-I-K-H? Can you open the Bible and read it if you are a Christian? Absolutely you can do
your
that.
Your own Bible as a student, knock yourself out.
Exactly. You can't have government, however, enforcing that upon other people. What you can do, the other piece that you can do is you can have, again, that's why the AP government thing is very interesting. Can you do a course on world religions? Sure you can, as long as you're not proselytizing and you are talking about world religions, right? There are many, many, many of them out there. We talk about Christianity and Judaism and Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism. Those are kind of the top five that are out there. And there are 20 and 30 and 40 others that are recognized out there. You can put together an academic course that talks about where they come from historically, how they're interrelated. We know, for example, that the Abrahamic faiths, right? Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, all of those, where those come from and how those, you can do that kind of a thing without saying, and this is what Muhammad said, this is what Jesus said, and we are to follow that because we're reading this together and we're all going to embrace exactly what that's the difference. And that's why the superintendent is so very, very wrong. That's the reason why we'll see what happens in Oklahoma. Somebody's got to stop that from happening. It's in violation of the Supreme Court, the law of the land, right?
Well,
right?
You know, my opinion, Jim, you could teach all those things in mythology class in your literature. Yep. Louisiana putting up the Ten Commandments, same kind of thing. Right. Now, obviously, there's pushback. There's lawsuits. I mean, this is I can't imagine. But again, this is a brave new world. Right. I can't imagine someone sentenced for fraud back in the early summer wouldn't or convicted of fraud wouldn't be sentenced. But things happen. Jim, this is a constant push. They're continuing to push for this. What about the Ten Commandments in the classroom? Same thing?
Exactly. It's the same thing because, again, if you are putting this up there, there have been some major cases even about the Ten Commandments. We've seen these appearing in official government offices or even outside the city hall, that sort of thing, and saying, here they are. Here are the rules that we all apply, we all follow, and we apply in our lives. That also is in violation of what? The Establishment Clause. Because once again, this government entity, public schools, public entities are saying we are embracing this Christian codification and can't do it. You're not supposed to do it. But to your point, once again, what we're doing here is revisiting things from, again, 40 years and seeing if we can take another swipe at it and see if we can get that back to the Supreme Court. And maybe somebody will tell us, no, Supreme Court was wrong back in 1963. We've all been living under the wrong interpretation. Here. Gosh, we've heard that before, haven't we?
We sure
2022
have.
Dobbs. Turns out we don't have a privacy right to abortion under the Constitution. We thought that was settled. Apparently not.
All hail Baphomet. Nolan from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Nolan. What do you got for us?
Howdy.
Hey there.
Yeah, I was just like thinking, Oklahoma is kind of what, 48?
48. Yes. Go ahead, Nolan. You still there? All right, we lost Nolan. Good point. Thank you for bringing it up. During a great interview on CNN, State Superintendent of Oklahoma Ryan Walters was asked, yes, sir, but you're spending all this money on Bibles. I think he wants like $6 million to go buy these Bibles. Wouldn't that be better spent on other issues in your classroom since you're ranked 48th in the nation?
Maybe some chemistry books, some chemistry texts, some physics, or frankly, some literature, right? Let's bring in some world literature, right? And talk about that. All kinds of things that maybe, just maybe, the superintendent should be focused on. Again, I'm not going to say traditional education, but there is such a thing, and he needs to be focused on just that.
855-752-4842. One final segment with our friend, James Santel. Broken dreams incorporated. The mother of
listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt Nair on air.
And thank you for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now. 855-752-4842. Callers, texters, we see you. Be patient. We will get to you. James Santel talking about religion in schools. And not religious schools. I went to a private Catholic religious school. You expect to get taught religion in those classes.
And that's okay.
And not just not just the history, but also the belief part
Absolutely.
Of it. And I don't object to a historical. I mean, obviously, religion has been very influential in civilization.
6,000 years,
and
right?
I would say negatively. You know,
right?
If I'm teaching that class, I'm saying, look at all Let's the justification we've done to murder each other.
Let's talk about the Crusades for a while, right?
You know what I mean? I mean, and go on and all the things that were before and all the things that are yet to come.
Yeah.
I always say it, man. Today's religion is tomorrow's mythology. So, am I going to be able to go and pray to Odin and bring my raven to class as part of my religious freedom? You know, I mean, there is as the non-believer. And everyone's a non-believer to some degree. You know what I'm saying? Because you might believe in your religion, but you don't believe in all the other ones.
So everyone's
an atheist to some degree. I just take mine one God further. Mm-hmm. But this case, September 17th, 1980, the Stone versus Graham, U.S. Supreme Court ruled 5-4. Kentucky statute requiring school officials to put a copy of the Ten Commandments on a wall in every public classroom violated the First Amendment's Establishment Clause. 5-4, Jim.
That's a little close, isn't it?
So, yes, I mean, when it was 5-4 the other way, then how does that... How is that even possible? How could a Supreme Court justice, looking at the Constitution, say, oh, yeah, that makes total sense?
They're going back 15, 18 years and saying, no, there's an entire line of establishment cases. And these are pretty clear, right? We're talking about public institutions, publicly funded. Again, some of the other areas I recognize, there may be some grays out there. That isn't when you're putting up, again, the rules of Christianity from Moses and teaching everybody in the fifth grade class and the when you're a junior in high school, this is what we all need to follow. That's got to be in violation of the Supreme Court. Can you do it at a private institution? Sure you can. Why? Because it is private, right? That's not a problem. Right. It doesn't run afoul of the Constitution. It's the reason why you can also have higher institutions of learning that also are religious in nature. That is entirely permissible. Public funding, public support, that's when the difference is made. This issue about a divided Supreme Court. In recent times, we can chat some other time about it. We've had a drift again in recent cases. There are three or four of them in which John Roberts has been at the lead saying, you know, more and more, the standard is not so much are you establishing religion, is discriminating against it. And if you don't give public funds, for example, for various support mechanisms, for scholarships to the private schools, to the religious schools, you are discriminating against them, and you can't do that. And we'll see if that's opening the door to, again, these Bible cases coming back to the Supreme Court.
They're going to throw everything at the wall and try to get a Dobbs again and bring down, because this has been the statement, the white Christian nationalists, this is what they want. They want this guy, Ryan Walters. I thought he was basically wanting the Department of Education job, but Linda McMahon got that.
He wanted it.
He wanted that. He's trying. Speaking of the Supreme Court, we got a caller in, Keith from Broadhead. You are next. Welcome to the show, man. We got Jim here. What do you got for us?
Hey, gentlemen. There's a line in the movie, The Da Vinci Code, which is one of the best, that touches on what you're saying there. As long as there has been one true God, there's been killing in his name. You know, it's a little ironic that one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt not kill, and religion has killed more people in the world, in the history of the world, than any other single force on the planet.
Yes.
I actually wanted to touch on the Supreme Court a little bit, because I'm curious, James, if you have an idea of how we can still go about getting some sort of judicial ethics through for the Supreme Court. Is that something that is possibly going to happen ever?
The answer is there are people out there like you, Keith, and people in Congress who are making a mighty effort to do just that. You've got the introduction of legislation, at least in this Congress, 118th Congress, both the House and the Senate. There's a fellow named Sheldon Whitehouse. There's a fellow named Dick Durbin, who's the head of the Judiciary Committee, coming from Illinois. They've got legislation. Basically, it's premised upon the notion that, well, the Supreme Court hasn't really done it. They put together some standards out there, but there's no enforcement mechanisms. And White House and others have said, if you don't do it, we will. And they have responded to everything, Keith, that I suspect you have digested with respect to Sam Alito and Clarence Thomas, all the issues about financial concerns, employment, friends having cases before you, all those kinds of things. It's there. And the question is, will the incoming Senate, have got to be, again, you got to pass it by a 60 vote. Will they have the votes to do it? No, in the coming Senate they won't. That's not to say you don't reintroduce it. That's not to say you don't continue to advocate for that, as long as John Roberts and the other members of the Supreme Court are not going to do it themselves. And doing it, what does that mean? Imposing upon themselves the same standard, Keith, that every other federal judge in America, district court judges, appellate court judges, have to follow. The Supreme Court does not. Supreme Court, Keith, to your very good point, needs to do that themselves and say we will be monitored. Interesting, one of the justices, I think it was Elena Kagan, said it lets us establish an additional group of judges who are district court judges, appellate court judges. They'll be kind of the OLR, if you will. They'll be the ones who will tell us what we got to do and what we can't do. Fascinating concept, right? But it's some enforcement mechanism, and you do have justices, what that means, is who are committed to doing this. Right now, Keith, you can do it if we get our legislature, regardless of the partisan perspective on it, to do just that. They've got to do it.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, that broadcasts here on the Civic Media Radio Network Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Jim, always a pleasure, man. I'll be tuning in once again.
What a delight to be with you once again, my
Absolutely.
Friend.
Thank you, Jess P.S. on the board. Thank you to our fair audience. Have a wonderful evening. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwab is coming up next.
This is the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Maggie Dawn.
I'm closing out my conference at which I'm speaking, so you've got another great guest host. You'll be joined by Matt Rothschild. He'll be in the chair. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay
me. Yeah, let's redirect here because right. This could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.